Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Christina.
And we're
Poor as Shoes. Featuring
Matt. Hello.
This is our podcast.
We Want to Believe.
Where we discuss the complicated and sometimes crazy TV show,
The X-Files.
You know it.
You love it.
And now we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to episode 2 of We Want to Believe.
Wow.
Sweet.
This episode is called LOL.
Deep throat.
I could not wait to bring that up.
We are so mature.
Grow up, you guys. Come on.
No, I can't. Never.
Okay, well, because I lost last week's 30-second recap in pretty convincing fashion.
I can't believe, are we just going diving right in?
Yeah,
I'm so nervous.
Oh, did you want to do other stuff first?
No.
No.
You're correct in what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm just nervous. I'm stalling.
Don't stall. Be confident.
Yeah, I'm confident.
Okay, hold on. I don't have a way to do 30 seconds, somebody.
Oh.
You don't have a phone?
No, I've left it in the other room.
You don't have a quality timepiece?
Okay, wait. So, I go first because I'm the reigning champ?
Sure.
I think that going first is the disadvantage. So it depends. Do you want to reward past achievements or do you want to give people a chance? You know?
I want to give people a chance.
Well, then I think you should go first, because you're a gracious winner.
You know what? If I'm remembered only as a gracious winner, and that's what it says on my tombstone, then you know what? That ain't so bad.
I guess it's not so bad.
What does thing have on your tombstone?
Was a gracious winner.
Gracious winner, yeah. Alex Zampino.
Which is like the ultimate humble brag. The ultimate afterlife
like,
humble
brag.
I'm like,
put that on my tombstone.
Yeah. I don't think you get to pick. Do you get to pick what they put on your tombstone? Isn't that kind of up to whoever?
You can. You can put it in your will.
Man, I would never let anybody decide what gets written on my tombstone.
It just says Maddie
friends.
Cakes.
I was just gonna say. He said, "Here lies Maddie Cakes."
Yeah.
He loved that name most of all.
I hate it.
Well, now all of our listeners know that you hate it, and you're just feeding into it, Matt.
Yeah, it's like the Streisand effect. Like, the more I just want something to go away, the more I actively, like, try and push for something to go away, the bigger it gets.
See?
Is that a... What's that? Why is that called the Streisand effect?
I think it was related to this...
Barbara?
Yeah, well, obviously.
Which Streisand? Was it Barbara?
No, South Park did an episode about it and about her. And
okay.
Where she was like this giant, awful Godzilla monster. And,
I love this.
Yeah, I just don't really remember how the rest of it goes, but in the end, she was like, I don't like this, I want it to go away, make it go away, and it made a huge stink, and then just kept getting bigger and bigger, because that's how the internet is now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the more you try and push something like that away, the bigger it's going to get.
It's like that time that Beyonce wanted them to take that picture of her off the internet.
That is exactly the Streisand effect.
And that didn't go so good for her.
She's like, take this picture of me off the internet, and now it's just...
JK, the most shared photo on the internet.
Yeah. Exactly. Stop stalling, guys. It's time for this competition. Let's go.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going first.
Okay. Are you ready?
Nope.
Stop looking at your notes.
Why? I can't look at my notes?
Well, isn't...
I thought you were...
We did last time.
Oh.
We looked
through... I did not look through my notes. Well, I guess I did.
You did.
I mean, to my detriment.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So maybe I'll just try and do it from memory, okay?
Ready?
Well, this will even be better.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Scully and Mulder are taking on this case, and there's this creepy guy that doesn't want them to do it, but basically they go to this airbase where there's these UFOs, and there's a pilot that's gone missing, and he actually isn't gone missing, but the military has stolen him away. Then they return him to his wife, who's very upset, but they're altering people's memories so that they don't remember these, like, UFO crafts that people are flying around, and these stoner kids help Mulder find information about it. And then he ends up going to the airbase, and then he experiences a UFO, but then he...
But that, then he what?
That was
we'll
so
never
good.
Know. We'll never know. We'll never know what he does.
That was really good.
The end. That was really good, though, compared to last week. Like,
that was good.
You guys couldn't really get past the title sequence.
I really thought I was going to get it this time.
Well, it's honestly your second time trying it. Don't worry.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Oh. Ready?
Yeah. Okay, so Colonel Eczema, and then the X-Files credits, and then Mulder meets a man in the bathroom for a reach around, and then they go to this place, this airbase, and then the pilot has gone missing, and then there's UFOs, and then they go to the airbase, and then the pilot comes back, and then Seth Green is there, and then Mulder goes back to the airbase, tries to sneak on, gets knocked out, they remove his memories. Scully is very upset, wants to leave the shithole town. They're basically back where they started from the beginning of the episode.
With time to spare.
Dare I say the best 30-second recap
of my life? So far? Yeah, I would dare. I think you're accurate.
Oh my god, that was so good, Matt.
Wow.
Okay, I'm gonna award this one to Matt.
Easy win.
I think it was a good mix of weird details and covering the entire story.
My congratulations to you, sir. That was amazing.
You got more of the details, and I was just filling in points, really.
No, you had the full. It was all encompassing for you because I forgot about the beginning about the guy, the blotchy guy.
Which is the same guy.
It's the same pilot guy. Yeah. Buddha House.
Buddha House. This is Buddha House?
Buddha House.
No, Buddha House.
Buddha House.
Buddha House.
Buddha House.
Can we just say that all the time for the rest of the show? And then we'll make a super cut of just
like
Buddha
Steve
House.
Holt. Buddha House. It's like Buddha House.
Buddha Hands. Boulder House.
Okay, I'm going to fill in the parts that we didn't talk about Tell us. Basically, the only thing that we really kind of missed that's gigantic is Scully just fully goes off the rails, banana hammock, crazy, and takes this guy fucking hostage. She steals a car. She breaks into a car. She, Grand Theft Auto, kidnapping, threatens her way onto the base to get Mulder back, and then they just fully steal that car.
I agree. I Scully's a badass. She's just like, yo, fuck you. Put your hands on the fucking car.
Yeah. She's like, who are you? What have you done with my Mulder?
Well, this guy's like a spy. Yeah, I'm a journalist. JK, I'm a fucking spy.
Fake news. You are fake news.
Fucking the definition.
Yeah. No.
Well, but,
yeah. Like this guy for real. Like she had good reason to take him hostage.
Agreed. He was sketch.
Yeah, he was being super sketch. You don't know what's going on at this creepy, airbase with the fucking, UFOs, the flying Doritos.
Flying Doritos.
Their conception of UFOs is pretty funny. No, it's a triangle.
But can I just say that I've seen a UFO and it was shaped like a triangle.
Where did you see a UFO?
I was in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to bed at night and I was looking out the window and it was a triangle shape, but it wasn't I could only see the lights of it, and they were lights, dashes in the shape of a perfect triangle.
Hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't a drone?
I'm almost 100% positive that it was not a drone.
Okay, next question. Are you sure it wasn't a Dorito?
I believe it was a flying Dorito.
Honestly, I heard that's the new marketing campaign.
I called my dad. And it was like midnight and I called my dad because I was like, Dad, I just saw a UFO because he's like the person in my life that believes in that kind of thing.
He's your Mulder?
He's the Mulder to my Scully. My dad is the Mulder to my Scully.
That's nice.
Nice, but also a little weird.
A little weird if we think about it in some ways. No, but I don't mean it like that. I just mean him and I have had these really detailed conversations about UFOs and the existence of extraterrestrials and he believes in that, so
cool.
He's the person that I would tell about those experiences that wouldn't be no way. My dad has theories, legit theories. He should be on this show.
He should be on the show. Do you think he'd want a guest host?
Yeah,
our podcast.
Yeah. And he can also hang out in my bedroom where we are doing this podcast right now.
It's so funny. He has so much to say about space and stuff. Anyways. So, yeah, I really loved how Scully took control,
mm-hmm.
and she was worried about Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I love that you mentioned Seth Green. As soon as the opening credits started and it was, guest starring Seth Green, I was I cannot wait for this fucking guest appearance.
I didn't even pay attention to that and notice that. I saw him, like, on screen and was like, ah, Seth Green.
I don't understand that. Seth Green's aging process.
He doesn't. He doesn't age.
It makes no sense.
So this is from 1992, and then he gets on Buffy in, like, 1998, and yeah. He looks exactly the same. He looks exactly the same in all of, like, the Austin Powers movies that he was in.
Even right now, he looks exactly the same. Yeah. So, like, yeah, this is what I was thinking. So when I saw this, and it's 1992, and Seth Green is guest starring, I was like, is he a five-year-old child? And then he was, like, an adult with, like, a goatee.
And long hair.
And I was like, my sister and I were watching it together. And then we looked up, like, this whole big list somewhere of, like, all the guest star appearances on the X-Files.
Oh, cool.
My God, there's
so
a lot.
Many. There's so, like, so many actors had their big break on the X-Files.
Really?
Like,
cool.
Yeah.
What's another example?
Like, Jack Black was on the X-Files.
I remember that.
Everyone. I feel like Dave Grohl was on the X-Files, too.
I don't remember
that. Was not his big break. I will just...
Brent.
I'll just let everyone know.
His big break would come sometime later with a band called the Foo Fighters.
No, yeah. No.
Brent Butt of Corner Gas fame.
Who the fuck is that? This is not a CanCon podcast, okay?
Yes, it is. We're in Canada. It's Canadian.
I know, but like, no one's talking about Drake.
I really, honestly, so I think that, like, on the guest star appearances are something that I would love to discuss on the show. I think we should definitely, like, pay mind to it every single time there's a good guest star.
Perfect.
And you know what's hilarious? It's, like, so the movie It came out, I guess it would technically have been TV miniseries, that came out in 1990 or, like, 1991.
Yep.
It's not that far removed from when this episode of X-Files came out. And Seth Green is in It.
Really?
And he is a child.
God, he's aging crazy then.
Yeah.
I know, he's just like back and forth. Like, well, how do you... I don't get it. Anyways, I can't follow it.
It makes no sense.
Seth Green is an alien.
Yeah, he is an alien.
He belongs on the fucking X-Files. He's an X-File of his own.
Him and Keanu Reeves. They've been drinking the same virgin's blood for the last, like, 400 years.
Like, unicorn fucking blood.
Oh my God, can I tell you one funny joke, though, that did happen today when I was watching this?
What?
When they go to Colonel Budapest's...
Budahas. This is Budahas?
Budahas.
No, Budahas.
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 Whatever the fuck. Wife? We're watching and Andrew goes, Sigourney Weaver, you've aged badly. And I said, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not Sigourney Weaver. And he goes, yeah, I know, I said Sigourney Weaver. And I was like...
Oh my god.
It was actually
Wiener.
So funny.
Sigourney Weaver is the fucking
He's
funniest
like, that's
thing.
The joke. And I was like, no, I get
that
it.
That's the fucking funniest joke I've ever heard.
To be fair, that lady's perm is terrible.
It was very Sigourney Weaver.
Her life was so unfortunate that I couldn't even handle it.
I know.
So
it was
bad
so
for
crazy.
Her.
When she was like, that's not my husband, I was just like, I was so confused. I was like, do you mean physically that's a different person? Like, a different human being? Or are you saying, like, oh, he doesn't remember?
Yeah, just to, like, describe a little bit about what happens up to that point. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah, at the beginning, this colonel with, like, weird body burns is, you know, SWAT comes in and breaks into their house. And his wife shows up. Just as they're about to do that, and I'm like, she's got the fucking key. What do you need to break the door down for? Like, can she not unlock the door to her
like,
own
could
house?
Not someone
but, like,
have,
once
like,
that process is in motion, like,
yeah, I guess
that's just how it goes.
I guess there's no stopping it, really. So, but anyway, so they, I guess they must take this man, this pilot, Colonel Boulder Hands.
Budahas. This is Budahas?
Budahas.
No, Budahas.
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 And they take him, and he's gone for, like, 4 months, and then he comes back, and his wife is like, that's not my husband. But when they show up, he is just sitting there in his Green Bay Packers jersey, putting a fucking puzzle together or whatever. Like, he's not even doing anything weird. And she's like, that is not my husband. Who is this puzzle? Who is this Green Bay Packers fan in my house?
That's what I was trying to say. Like, they do not explain
it.
That she is not saying, that's a different human being.
Also, do they ever explain why he gets those burns and blotches?
No, it's another.
Yeah, it's just a bad classic year for Zima. They do. What you're saying.
They do, though.
Did they?
Yeah, they do kind of explain.
Well, Mulder's like, it's UFOs.
Well, they're like.
So that's not really an explanation.
Yeah, so these pilots are supposedly flying test planes, and Mulder believes that the planes are built based on UFO technology. Mm-hmm. But there's a point where he says, you know, the pilots' bodies cannot physiologically handle
the
extreme maneuvers and things that are happening when they're flying these.
So they get
they hit the G spot just so perfectly that their bodies catch fire and they develop some sort of like weird burn
that
eczema
sounds hot.
Thing. Like,
to the touch.
I guess David Duchovny would know all about hitting the G spot just right.
Do you think he would though? Do you think he cares about a woman's needs?
I don't know. Speaking of that, how's your aunt, Alex?
Oh yeah,
she's great. So obviously on the last episode we talked about how my aunt met David Duchovny, and I could not remember the circumstances of said meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But she recounted it to me. Should I read her message?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
I'm so excited.
Have you not heard this yet?
Oh, yeah, maybe you told me about
it. Hearing it for the second time.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it again.
Anyways, here's what I said. Hey, can you tell me the story of when you met David Duchovny? Or did I make that up? I'm recording a podcast about the X-Files, and I want to tell that story. She says, LOL, it was a long time ago. So that's just the premise. I mean, the preface. The preface is, so just imagine this is how the story goes. LOL. It was a long time ago. I was in Vancouver on business. We had just returned to our hotel and I noticed this tall, good-looking man in the front lobby. As he walked outside the hotel, I saw his face and I realized who it was. I told my friend who I was traveling with, but she didn't watch the X-Files. Fail. She told me to go talk to him. I had had a few drinks, so I boldly walked outside to confront him. He looked my way as I came outside. I walked up to him and said, "You're Fox Mulder." He smiled and said, "Yes, I am." In the excitement of the moment, I forgot his name. LOL. Signed, my Aunt Kathy.
So, like, so what did she do?
Fox just went up to him and said, "You're Fox Mulder."
Yes.
He said, "Yes, I am."
That was it.
And it was a classic X-Files, like, fucking inconclusive, unresolved narrative.
She also added she didn't have a cell phone, so didn't get an auto, and like didn't think to get an autograph, and didn't take a picture, so that was it.
It's pretty much just my word against his at this point.
If he's fucking going around denying this.
Saying he did not meet Kathy, then I don't know who to believe.
But like, so did she say that? She was like, "You're Fox Mulder," and he goes, "Yes, I am." Did she just turn around and walk away?
I think that
did she just stare at him like mouth agape? Like,
I think probably. Like, I think that she probably was like a little starstruck, and then she was probably like, "Okay, goodbye." Like, it was probably like, "That's it. That's the conversation we're having." And I'm leaving.
I love it. That's so
amazing.
Great.
I love it
it's
too.
So funny.
I knew it was a doozy.
To be fair, I don't think I would have handled that situation any different. No. I'd have been like, "Fox Mulder." Just start screaming, "Fox Mulder."
Yeah, exactly.
That's like one time. Speaking of CanCon, I was on the Danforth. And I saw the guy who played Toby in Degrassi, The Next Generation, in the Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah.
And I just started yelling, "Toby! Toby!" Which is a horrible thing to do. I was, like, 16.
Was he working
and
there?
No, he was just there, also. And he was just like, like, that's not how you should meet someone. If you see them, don't just yell out their character's name.
No.
In public.
No.
Yeah.
It's very obnoxious.
I think that my aunt is, like, so cute that she got away with it pretty well. Like, she was like, "You're Fox Mulder."
She also didn't yell it, like, from across. Like, I did. I was just like, "Toby!" Like, this is horrible.
No. What not to do.
I mean, David Duchovny seems like a pretty chill dude. Like, to handle. He handles something like that well.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he plays in a blues band or something.
That is hilarious to me. So back to this episode.
Yeah, we kind of got off track.
No, it's good. I like the off-track business of this show. I mean, like, so this airbase, is there a real airbase? Because I feel like bumfuck Idaho is exactly the type of place where there would be, like, a fucking off-the-grid airbase.
There is, there, Oh, this is called Ellis Air Base.
Ellen
Air. Okay. I was like, that's real, but no, it's not. I was thinking there's an air base in Las Vegas called Nellis.
Oh.
It's like way out in the desert. Not in Las Vegas, in Nevada.
Yep. It's like in the middle of Las Vegas. That's how they...
it's like hiding in plain sight.
It's so discreet.
It's
yeah. Everyone just thinks it's like an exclusive casino. Okay. Yeah, like, this is... So what does everyone think about this situation? Like, there's like these floating lights. Remember mm-hmm. when... Okay, so just going to point something out. Continuity error in this episode of...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Okay, Christina knows what I'm going to say. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Not really.
Anyways, remember Scully is sleeping in the car, and Mulder's like, Scully, come out here. But before that, there's, like, a really loud noise, and, like, the rear windshield smashes.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, it's just fixed magically.
Because I wrote down, I hope that they got rental insurance.
That's exactly what I said out loud. I was like, oh my god, I hope they had fucking insurance. Like, these are the things you think
that's
about when
you're
an adult.
Old as fuck. You're not just like, sounds can break glass. No, I hope you got rental insurance for that oldsmobile.
Oh my god.
Did your rental insurance cover, like, damage caused
from
by
sonic
sound
booms?
Waves?
Sonic.
Is that an act of God? Like, I don't know. I'm going to actually check my next rental insurance. Just be like, sonic booms, like, where do you stand on that?
You're like, it was a tree. And they're like, we don't cover trees.
Also...
But sonic booms, do you cover sonic booms?
Well, maybe in that area, because there was just so many issues because of the airbase.
Another place where it's a creepy town, right? Like, when Scully's trying to make a call, and all of a sudden, just, like, all the phone lines are dead when Mulder's gone missing, and then he's like, that guy is like... I don't know, phones don't really work here, because, like...
The military.
It's government.
And he was just, like, totally cool with that.
Yeah.
That's
like,
weird.
People say it's military, but I don't know.
They just say that.
I really want to point out, just going back to the car for a minute,
mm-hmm.
Mulder and Scully are cheating on the Ford Taurus
in
the Oldsmobile.
I agree. But Scully does bring it back, because she fucking kidnaps that guy, and he's driving a Ford Taurus, so don't worry. He was in the Taurus, so then
she
drives it.
Maybe he stole it first, and then it's not actually Grand Theft Auto. It's just, like, getting it back.
They get away in the Taurus. She saves Mulder and drives away in the Taurus, and that's what counts.
It's not how you get there. It's how you where you end up, right?
Okay, in, like, the third season, they are driving an Oldsmobile that's the exact same kind that, like, my nan and granddad used to
love it.
It had, like, purple interior, and it was silver on the outside.
Purple interior?
Ooh, was it, disgusting. Like, that sateen, like a...
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh
a shiny...
God.
Yeah, real fucking sexy.
So, my
real
dad...
Real fucking pussy wagon, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
And these cars, I know. These cars are, like, so... They're so good, and I think I mentioned this on the last episode. My dad, like, my parents totally had a Ford Taurus, and it was, like, kind of, like, a teal color. And... It's, like, such a great car that we, like, kept it in the family. Like, my aunt ended up having it. My same aunt, Kathy, told the story. And maybe she really wanted it because of the X-Files.
She should have been like,
maybe.
We drive the same car, you and I, David Duke. I had a Ford Taurus, too.
Some
stars. They're just like us. They all drive Ford Taurus-i.
Taurus-i.
The other thing that I've noticed in this that maybe is a new thing to kind of take note is, like, they have this weird habit out of two episodes of just like questioning people in diners.
Yeah.
Do you remember that from the last episode too?
Yeah.
It's like a place for breaking bread, I guess, and finding out secrets.
But this place is called the Flying Saucer.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
I thought it was called Eric's.
No, they question people. Oh, you mean the stoners in the diner. But I'm talking about the first place they go to, the Flying Saucer, where he talks to the lady, and
she sells him that photo of a Dorito.
And gives the map to, like, the airbase.
Yeah, and she's like, Scully's like, you're a sucker. But then, like, Mulder has his own plan to get, like, a map, and she's like, that's airbase, isn't on the map. And he's like, let's go, hop in the fucking Oldsmobile, let's go.
Scully's so mad, too, in that scene.
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
Like, this woman... This server at the diner is like, oh, I've got all these pictures of UFOs for sale. I've got all these pictures of flying Doritos for sale.
20 bucks.
So, 20
Which
bucks.
Which is not cheap even now. Like, imagine how much
nobody
20
now would
bucks
spend
was.
Yeah.
Then.
In 1992.
Like, would you honestly, in your right mind, that many, like, $20?
$20.92. Yeah.
Do you know how much you would buy with $20 in 1992? Jesus.
Like the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, you could buy the entire fucking team.
If I had invested $20 in 1992, I'd be retired by now. I know. That's what I understand.
But Mulder is like, I'll take it. Just put it on my tab. And Scully is just so angry. She's like, I've had just about enough of this horse shit right here.
Because I think she knew where he was going with it, and he wouldn't just like come out and say it. It was such a long lead up to when he was finally like, I think it's UFOs. And I think she was just like, just go ahead and fucking say it. Like, why are we going through this rigmarole of like pretending like we're investigating when you clearly have like an agenda, and we're just here to confirm like what you already think, which is UFOs.
UFO.
Oh, you know what we should probably talk more about that we kind of skipped over was Deep Throat.
Oh yeah,
Mystery Bathroom Man. Mystery Bathroom Man.
Was he the giver or the receiver of the reach around in your version?
Somebody's deep throating someone.
Well, see, he wants to help Mulder out. He's like, listen, first, my mouth is full of peanut butter, Mulder. Mulder, you and Scully are in danger, Mulder. He does talk like that. Duh, I would drop this case if I were you, Mulder. And then his mouth is just full of butthole at this point. Because they're in a men's room.
Yeah.
And his name is Deep Throat.
And it's gay, so there you go.
Like, does that guy come back? I don't actually remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he comes back for more again and again.
This is so good because I actually haven't seen this show in so long that, like, it's new to me. So I'm, like, actually learning as I go.
You're going to see him again.
Familiar to me. Like, okay. There's, like, so much shit that happens. First of all, they get run off the road by the fucking... What is it? Like national security?
First of all?
Yeah. But why does it... This is so horrible when this happens. Like, they're just like... And it's so crazy when people... There's so much to do with cars. You know, they're always in like a fucking... Some kind of a car situation. There's so much driving. It's so typical of the U.S. You know what I mean? They're just like always driving on a highway.
They're driving through like, honestly, America's corn belt.
Yeah.
It's like a one road through cornfields. And actually what I was really struck by was like... how much things haven't changed since 1992.
No, it's the same.
Because, first of all, there is a reference to Desert Storm and Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
And when they say, what is this all about? Because the people who stop them when they run them off the road are, like, smashing their camera. They, like, expose all the film to the sun and, like, render it useless. And then they, like, take all their pictures and stuff like that. And they say, what is this in the name of? And they go, national security.
Yeah.
And I was like, national security! The fucking justification for trampling all over people's rights since at least 1992.
No, it's so true. It's so, like, relevant.
Right?
Yeah.
It's still happening.
Forever. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then, they get fucking run off the road. Like, there's so much car shit. And then Scully steals that car. And the thing that I thought was weird about that scene was, first of all, that sketchy non-journalist dude.
Yeah.
But one thing that I just noticed and I couldn't get out of my head was, like, she locks herself in his car.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And he comes over and he knocks on the window with his own glasses. Why?
Because he's still trying to appear, like, harmless.
Yeah.
But, like, takes off... Okay, well, let's just... Then I guess that's when it goes from 0 to 100.
Because he just gets a fire extinguisher out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah,
first of all, it's like he takes his glasses off, he taps the window with his glasses, and then he just comes out of with a fucking fire extinguisher and smashes the window. I'm like, what does this mean to anyone?
But the other good car thing is when Scully is like, Mulder, you're dumb. Like, we gotta get out of here. Like, it's not up to us to question the government and how it, like, handles its secrets. Poor naive Scully.
Yeah.
You'll pay for that in time. But Mulder's like, okay, you're right. Like, I'm just gonna go take a shower and let's go. And then he's all like, tricked you, bye, bitch. And he just, like, gets in the Oldsmobile and fucking takes off. And he goes to meet up with Seth. He just peels out as fast as an Oldsmobile can go. Which is not fast, because Scully has time to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I just love how badly that scene was, like, telegraphed. Just like, okay, you know what? I do not agree with you in any way, shape, or form, Scully. I think weird shit's going on in this airbase, and I think we should check it out. And Scully's like, I'm tired of fucking being in this podunk shithole town. Like, I'm tired of talking to, like, pilots with burns, had lost their memories, and spending my time with Seth Green, I'm just sick of it, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And Mulder's like, you know what? you're right. I'm totally going to have a shower and not sneak onto a fucking airbase.
Like, I'm leaving this one alone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, as if that would be, yeah.
Puts his hands in the air, backs away slowly. Yeah. But that's the point. I feel like the point of that is that, like, we're still early enough in the Scully and Mulder relationship that, like, she doesn't know that he's not going to do what he says he's going to do.
Oh, that's so true. And I think, like, another thing that kind of came up during that conversation, which is something you brought up before, Alex, which is, like, Scully is really quick to discredit people, and she's like, they're fucking stoners.
Yeah.
Like, you could have shown him a hamburger, and he would have been like, that's yeah, I saw like that flying. And she's just like, so I don't care about him, and he doesn't matter to me, because he smoked pot once, and now he's just written off completely. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, maybe he has something to say.
Yeah, way to be progressive, Scully. Like, come on now.
I know.
Yeah. Bad. So, bad. Like, in the true style of this, of the X-Files, Scully, it sort of ends off, well, not the end, but, like, Scully writes her field report, signs off, XOXO Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah. You know then, you love me.
Well, we gotta talk about, like, what happens to Mulder at the airbase,
though. Oh, right? yeah. So, Mulder fully sees the UFO, fully.
Like, okay, it flies over top of him, and it tries to tractor beam him up, and then it's just like, never mind, bye-bye. And it just goes away.
I keep making Flying Dorito, like, references, but I swear to God, there was an ad by Doritos where it's just, like, a floating Dorito over a person's head, like, that's supposed to be sort of like a UFO, and I swear they must have ripped, like, X-Files off.
Yeah, no, it's like, which came first, you know?
Yeah.
The Dorito or the egg.
And then he, like, and he gets chased down, and obviously he can't outrun vehicles.
I wrote that down too.
I know, I said that too. I was like, what are you?
He
starts Tom Cruise, like, fully pumping his arms in his Timberland boots, which, like, I don't know. And he's just like, I'm gonna outrun these cars, which he can't do. And then when they all get out of the car, he does this, like, weird, like, he's like juking and jiving and dimming, and he's trying to, like, get away from them, but there's like 15 people. He puts up a good fight, God bless his soul.
Yeah. Well, it's like, do I just give up right here, or do I try and outrun a car?
Yeah.
So then, like, he gets taken to, like, I don't know, that place that's, like, the Yellow Fort or whatever they were calling it. Maybe it's not that place.
The Yellow Fort?
The Yellow Base.
The Yellow Base, yeah. And then and he sees kind of weird stuff, but then they're, like, drugging him, and I guess they alter his memory, so by the time what is the sequence of these events? Because it's, like, morning time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he walks.
They keep him overnight, yeah.
He walks from day till night. It's night when he gets captured. They keep him, like, overnight.
Yeah. And then the morning, Scully is trying to make calls. Then she steals the car.
She goes to get him.
And she's like, honestly, she's very dedicated to getting him back, even though she barely knows him and really has not much responsibility to him at this point.
Like, at this point, too, when Mulder just comes staggering out of the thing, and he looks like he just got, like, too drunk, shit his pants, and fell asleep in a ditch, and Scully is, like, his angry wife. She's like, not this again.
Yeah, it's so true.
She's like, I don't give a fuck if he's a drunk staggering idiot. Yeah.
Now give him to me! And I'm taking your car!
Fucking steal your
car!
Here's the question. What's the plan after that? Where are you leaving that car?
Where are you
going to
leave that car? Where's the Oldsmobile? So many questions.
Well, you can just leave. Apparently, if you're the FBI,
you can just leave cars wherever you want.
Whatever.
The requisition people are going to be very upset.
Okay, I see here that you signed out an Oldsmobile and you brought back a fucking Ford Taurus with no window. So what happened there?
And they're like, their expense reports are just like
$130,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. A sonic boom got to it. I don't know. I just ditched it.
You just fucking ditched a car and had a fucking broken rear windshield.
Yeah.
And they just got a new one.
Yeah, there's like, I'll steal a new one. It has a broken side one, so that's better. I will say, though, that, like, in the States, people do just abandon their cars, like, on the side of the freeway, the interstate especially.
Really?
Just bye-bye.
All the time. Yeah, they're just like, meh. And they just leave it.
Doesn't work anymore.
Do they just, like, walk into the ocean and never come back out, or, like...
I honestly don't know, but just because, like, my whole life we've been driving to Florida, and, like, I've gone on innumerable road trips, like... You do not see that in Canada, but people just abandon it because it's like their car will be so shitty and it would just be so much money for, like, a tow truck to come get it, and they don't really have, like, insurance yeah, and so stuff, like, so they're just, like, literally, they're like, this is a lost cause, and I guess they just walk into the woods and live there.
Okay.
And that's what Mulder and Scully have done.
And now they live in Idaho.
In Idaho, care.
Yeah.
In I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
In I don't know.
Well.
No, but then what's the very last thing that happens?
Okay.
Mulder's running on a track.
Mulder's running from his problems.
Ooh.
Mulder's very upset, running from his problems, and Deep Throat shows up to be like, Mulder, I warned you. You and Scully put yourselves at unnecessary risk. Now like it's Sean time Connery. For Behind the Bleachers Blajowski. Pick it up where we left off.
And in the very bedroom. The last thing is Mulder's like, are you saying they're here? Or like, are you saying that they're here? And the guy's like, they've been here for a very, very long time.
They're here, aren't they? Mr. Mulder, they've been here for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's like, I don't know, the thing that's just like, he's like, why do you think people still believe in UFOs despite all the evidence to the contrary? And Mulder goes, because all the evidence to the contrary is not entirely
convincing enough
or whatever. And the guy's like, exactly. And you're just like, what are you saying?
Yeah. These guys are two peas in a pod. You're just
they
like,
really are.
They're egging each other on, really.
Or as we'll probably end up discussing for the rest of this series, are they just telling Mulder what he wants to hear? Just giving him breadcrumbs. Keep him away from...
Or is he Mulder's dad? Another thing that gets...
Oh, yeah.
Called into question.
Dun, dun, dun.
Little breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think, like, more evidence to Mulder's pretty established idea that people are helping and hindering him.
And it's a classic, I don't know, I just feel like the X-Files episodes, for me, are, like, there's so much emphasis on, like, the case and, like, the meat of the case, but, like, the end is always just, like, what even? There's no resolution of any kind, so it's always just, like, this, like, really big, all this stuff is happening, and it comes to a somewhat abrupt end of, like, nothing truly being solved at all.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much what Scully says at the end. Sort of the end. She's just, like, Mulder, we are leaving this fucking garbage town because we are pretty much right back where we started.
We don't know anything.
Like, we came here with nothing, we're leaving with nothing. That kidnap pilot came back, he's a little weird, but who gives a shit, let's go home.
And they go and visit his wife, and his wife is acting shifty, and Mulder's like, see, they got to her too, and it's like, maybe it's just hard to, like, let your amnesia husband back in your life after 4 months. Like, I don't know, maybe that's just stressful.
Yes.
Sigourney Wiener.
Sigourney Wiener is so funny.
The other thing that I noted that I thought was extremely bizarre was, like, when Scully is fully pointing a gun at that guy's head, those armed guards that are at the gate have no opinion whatsoever about the fact that there's a woman just fully... holding some guy.
I feel like it says a lot about that journalist guy. They're just like, they're like, we don't give a fuck.
You got yourself into another one of these situations, Ken. Get yourself out. Like, yeah, way to go. I don't care. That's another tourist you just lost.
Yeah, you should actually stick to being a reporter, you fucking clown. Like,
yeah, like,
you're terrible.
It's like, it turns out he actually is just a reporter.
Fucking Ken,
they're
stop
like,
it.
Stop trying to pretend you fucking work for us. You don't fucking work here.
Yeah, you don't work here. You never worked here, Ken.
Oh my god. I would say the overall theme of this episode, I say, is called stay in your lane. It's just everybody's just like, just stay in your lane.
Literally,
figuratively, stay in your lane. Okay, ready for some segments?
Oh, yeah, I am. Ready for Spooky Mulder.
Spooky Mulder. Mulder okay. Logic.
Mulder logic.
Okay.
Let's just say this case has a distinct smell to it. A certain paranormal bouquet.
Am I going first?
Anything to say about Spooky Mold?
Well, Mulder logic is about as ridiculous as it always is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's especially, like, the part that sticks out to me is when they first get to the airbase and they're watching the... They're seeing the lights, like, moving and dancing around together and whatever. And Mulder's like, how do you explain that? And Scully's like, I don't know, experimental military technology. And he was like, UFO.
Unidentified flying objects.
He's like, check out these two identical pictures of Doritos. And you tell me, like, this is Cool Ranch and this is jalapeno and cheddar. They look so much alike. They've got to be the same. They've got to be using, like, tech from one in the other. Like, it's totally real. And Scully's like, you bought that out of a diner, and this one was by some crackpot from 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot. You're bad, and you should feel bad.
Like, yeah, it's true. It's true. He has no chill.
That's my Mulder logic.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't really... I think, obviously, I agree with everything you're saying. I think that he's just so convinced about things, and, like, we're going to learn this more as the episodes go on. There's episodes where it's worse and worse, where he just, like, literally is just seemingly just a stream of consciousness is just coming out of his mouth, and he just can't stop. I thought he was particularly weird when at the beginning he, like, won't really explain the case to Scully. Like, why does he have to keep her in the dark? Like, it's such a douche thing that he just, like, is so, like, he's like, it just smells like an X-File, you know what I'm saying? And she's like, why is this an X-File? It's not extraterrestrial at all. It seems like it just has something to do with the military. And he's like, but it kind of stinks a little. Like an
X-File. It has a paranormal bouquet.
That's what he says. Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
He's like, I don't know, it kind of smells like one, though, don't you think?
Like, Shelly's like, I don't follow.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I had the same thought, so too. Weird. Like, when after he meets Deep Throat in the bar bathroom, and Scully's like, Mulder, what's wrong? He just doesn't tell her. I'm like, this is your partner.
Like, be transparent.
Yeah, like, some random dude just accosted me in the fucking bathroom.
Yeah.
He came in and locked the door behind me, and some things happened, and now...
I'm confused. My favorite moment was, like, the jump even further, when he obviously was already convinced it was UFOs, but then he said they're making military planes off of the stuff, like, the crash from Roswell, and he's like, because did you know that this is one of the air bases that would have been in, like, the right radius to transport fucking fictional crash...
Oh my god.
Shit from? And Scully's like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, first you're assuming that that crash actually happened, then with a UFO, and that this airbase is somehow in the right vicinity because you know how the military would transport UFO wreckage.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Like, I feel like that didn't even register in my brain because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's a lot of jumps.
A lot of leaps. A lot of, shall we say, Mulder logic.
Very exactly. Mulder logic. Very much so. Well, let's move on to our dear, the opposite of this segment, which is Scully's debunk.
Just because I can't explain it, doesn't mean I'm gonna believe they were UFOs.
Yes. I think my favorite Scully debunk part is she says, like, just because I can't explain it doesn't mean it's UFOs.
I mean,
I think that was pretty good.
I think I'm gonna try and monitor this all throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Scully's debunk always has something to do with thinking that someone's crazy. Her explanation for things is like, that person is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like in the first one, she was like, that girl's crazy. That girl in the hospital is fucking crazy. That's what she is. And this time, he's like, what? How can you explain, like, these two pilots that are, like, weird now? And she's like, they have a fucking, like, panic disorder. Yeah. And, like, it's caused by stress.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. They're crazy. Mm-hmm. That's Scully's main explanation for everything. It's either what you just said, which is, like, we don't know anything and we shouldn't assume that it's fucking UFO. Or people are crazy people.
Yeah. There's a part where Mulder's like explaining his craziness or his logic or whatever in the car, and he says, Scully, tell me I'm crazy. And Scully's like, Mulder, I think you're crazy. She flat out just tells him that he is crazy.
But that's nice because she still goes and rescues him.
Yeah.
This is a confusing part. You know what? It feels like it's like some sort of like, there's like a little bit of like, I don't know, like there's a it's a weird relationship that's already being established, mm-hmm. because it's like, you think this guy is crazy, you don't agree with anything he does, but you feel very, very loyal to him. Maybe that's just because she's a really good FBI agent.
Maybe that's just basic human decency. But it's like before not this, let people just get kidnapped.
Maybe, but before this, it's not like she was a field officer. Like, she wasn't in the field. True. She was, like, a medical doctor. So, like, where does she have these, like...
Well, maybe for the sake of argument, like... So, when I was reading trivia about this episode, so the pilot and this episode were filmed a year apart.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe chronologically it's, like... they've spent time together doing cases.
That's interesting.
Also, okay, I just want to note one thing. That this is where we see that Scully is a God-fearing woman. She wears a crucifix around her neck.
Yeah.
That's something I noticed about this episode, which is, like, going to be a theme, a consistent theme throughout the series. Her belief in God and her Christianity.
Which is so funny, because I think sometimes believing in UFOs and believing in God are pretty similar.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are.
And maybe, both cannot be explained by science.
Maybe she will begin to realize that herself.
Maybe. Okay, but I think this is really dovetailed nicely into our next segment, which is Skulder Watch.
Can I buy you a drink?
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Agent Mulder.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know if I have... I'm trying to think of any particular moments where, you know, they were...
I have two.
...shippy, but I feel like there was a part where they were in the car together, but now I don't remember.
Mine was actually the opening scene where they're, like, in a bar, and Mulder just literally comes up and is, like, in her face, like, hello. I was just like, who the fuck greets a person, like, that they work with, like, by being 5 centimeters from them? That's really weird. And he's just, like, being... I don't know if he's being flirty or weird. I can't tell the difference with him sometimes. But that was just, like, a moment. It wasn't really anything big.
That's a good point, actually. That makes me think of... Actually, just makes me think of a few... There's, like, a few moments in this episode where Scully just, like, smiles at something, like... Mulder says.
Yeah.
But it's like not just a smile, it's like a knowing smile.
Yes.
And then Mulder says something really ridiculous, and then I realize that that smile is actually just her making fun of him.
It's like an eye roll. It's like a, I knew you were going to say that, you stupid idiot.
But I agree that there's a lot more, like, what I've realized from, like, trying to talk about the Skulder chemistry is that a lot of it's more, like, visual and, like, physical. Like, it's more, like, the tension, physical tension between them, like what you said, like, he comes up really close to her, or they're sitting in the car and she's, like, smiling, or, like, there's a lot of, like, physical flirting that happens that, like, isn't really much to do with something they said. I also noted the thing about how they, first of all, meet up at a bar at 2 p.m.
And, and Mulder's, like, want to get a drink, and Scully's, like, it's 2, and he's like, it's not stopping all of these people.
Yeah. Like, so I feel like he's always trying to get her drunk, because he said that, and then later in the episode, she shows up at his motel room, and she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here, Scully? Come to raid my minibar?
You didn't come to raid my minibar, did you?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
He's always like, ooh, you want to get drunk together and, like, talk about UFOs and stuff?
I think it's maybe because he thinks freaky. That she's too uptight, and he wants her to, like, kind of relax, maybe, and let loose a bit, maybe. Mulder.
Or again, he just forgets what show he's on. Like we talked about the last episode. He's got his Red Shoes Diaries. He's just like, oh, right, I'm not on Red Shoe Diaries anymore.
Yeah, it's like, dude, just lay off. Why do you have to keep trying to, like, I don't know.
What's funny is, like, have you guys ever seen Red Shoe Diaries?
I have.
Yep.
So he doesn't actually have sex with anybody. He just reads the letters, which is the best part, because he, like, narrates them in his, like, very soft David Duchovny voice.
But I feel like he acted them out. Like, I feel like these are all, like, his actual sexual experiences.
Yeah, like, he wrote them to himself.
The show is his autobiography.
He felt the need to act them out in his actual real life. Yeah. Oh my god, I know.
Which is cool. Like, that's cool, man.
That's totally cool.
We're all sex positive here.
Absolutely.
You do you.
You do you, man. If you need a whole TV show to narrativize your sexual thoughts, and you have the resources, by all means.
Channel 40 Showcase, 11:30 every Friday night.
Can't escape.
I think the other segment we have is Best Special Effects.
Oh yeah. Okay, so for me, I think the best special effects were the whooshing noises of all the aircraft. There were many different kinds of whooshing noises.
Yeah.
Some of them were short, some of them were long.
Could you do some impressions of them?
There was like one that was like, there was one that was like very much like a like Super Mario Brothers one, which is like the one where they see the floating lights, and then when it leaves, it's like
going through
a tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? Nintendo, it's Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, it's like boo boo boo. Like it was really short and weird. But then the other ones are all just like, like they're just like, you know, the fucking air show at the CNE style.
Yeah.
But like, you know, they obviously I think that it's cool to have, like, those sound effects and then have people reacting to them. Because they're obviously, like, they're not really necessarily happening on set.
Right.
So it's, like, the sound's happening, people are reacting to them. Anyways, I thought that was the best special effect. Obviously, I know that there were other things visually in the show. I just liked the whooshing noises.
That's great.
Flying Dorito, the one that, like, settles over Mulder's head.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought this was going to be cheesier because it's 1993 or two or whatever, but it's actually not too bad.
Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting. Just this, levitating, rotating fucking Dorito that has light coming out of it.
I agree.
The part that I liked, which is not necessarily special effects, it was just, like, good visual feeling for what was happening, was like when Mulder was on the stretcher and he was trying to keep his eyes open and like see the UFO behind the like tarp, and he was like woozy, so he was like coming in and out of focus, and he was just like, you could just feel that moment of like struggling to remember and make sense of something that you, because it's like obviously he wants to see that so badly, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of wondering like how much of this is like hallucinogenic, like what are they pumping into that mask, and like I don't know, I thought that was good. I thought that was a good scene.
And then when he wakes up, they're going to be like, sorry, dude, it's just Simon Fraser University. Where they filmed so much of this show.
Oh my god, I know. BC, dope. Dope, dope, dope. Lastly.
Oh, yeah.
Like this episode?
Yeah, okay. I liked this episode more than the pilot. I think that it's kind of classic. And it was less annoying, and there were less people's names to remember. And just it introduced
Boulder Hands.
Budahas. This is Budahas.
Budahas.
No, Budahas.
Budahas.
Boulder, Boulder Dash, and Boulder Mrs. Boulder Dash, and
Budahas.
Budahas.
And
Deep Throat Guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get to be introduced to another new, recurring character.
Yeah.
That's cool. Scully's like extra long double-breasted blazers make a comeback. That's dope. So I give it like 4.5 flying Doritos out of 5 flying Doritos.
I really want this to become a recurring thing. Flying Doritos.
Flying Doritos. That could be our normal rating system. I give it 2 deep throat blowjobs out of 3 flying saucers.
I can't make sense of this scale.
I know. I think that I like the flying sauce. I mean, I like the Dorito rating. Maybe we'll get Doritos to sponsor us.
Doritos, call us.
Call us.
Matt?
I give this 4 missing pilots out of 5.
Where are they?
Where they be? Buddha House? Where are you?
Come back, Boulder Hands. Your wife and her bad
balls are dash.
Fucking brutal house over here.
All right, well, until next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast.
We want to believe. Brought to you by Poor's Shoes.
Featuring Matt.
Tune in next time when
Mulder and Scully search for a humanoid killer whose savage murder spree reoccurs every 30 years. Oh my god, this is the Tombs episode.
I love this one.
I love it.
Sick.